Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsuit Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout. Shannon Watt started Moms Demand Action as a Facebook page at her kitchen table. 5 years later, it is the driving force in the gun violence prevention movement.
We're talking with Shannon about why women are leading this effort and why she's never fatigued.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Welcome to another episode. Y'all, we are so excited to be joined today by the founder of Moms Demand Action. We've spoken a lot about this organization and our personal involvement in it. And we reached out to Shannon and she was happy to come on the show. We're going to talk about why she founded Moms, why she thought moms in particular were the answer. We're going to go through a lot of the most common arguments we hear from pro-Second Amendment people about why good common sense gun laws aren't needed. And she's going to give these amazing responses. I'm so excited to share those with you. So, here's our interview with Shannon. Well, we are so excited to be here with Shannon Watts, the founder of Moms Demand Action. And before we get started, Shannon, I'm going to try to do this and not get too emotional, but I just want to thank you as a victim of gun violence. The last time, and particularly in Parkland, and I talked about this a lot on the episode we did after Parkland, I have never felt so empowered and hopeful in the face of a mass shooting as I did in Parkland, and I know it's because of my involvement with Moms Demand Action. I just didn't feel sort of lost. I didn't feel, like I said, just hopeless. I felt like, okay, no, I'm in this group. I know our goal. I know our focus. I know where we're going. And it was night and day to other experiences I've had.
And do you feel hopeful in the wake? Do you feel optimistic?
Absolutely, because there's just something hopeful about knowing you're in this group and you have a vision and you have a plan. It's such a different experience. I cannot thank you enough.
First of all, I have to thank all of the type A women in the country because you know, I would love to take credit for this. But as I've said before, there were many times I've thought about turning back. And what I realized was when you're working with all these type A women, there is no going back. There is only going forward.
That's so true.
I have to say that I feel like this is a bit different this time. Now, people think that that means we're going to suddenly have amazing changes at the congressional level, right? This cathartic moment that we're all waiting for in Congress, it's going to take a while. Mm-hmm. This is a Congress beholden to the gun lobby. That doesn't mean we can't make amazing changes at the state level and in corporate boardrooms, which we're seeing all of that in just 3 weeks.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's so important and the nuance of this situation, which is something we talk a lot about. I had felt, like so many Americans, that terrible, awful narrative of, well, nothing changed after Sandy Hook. Well, no, nothing changed instantly, but something did change, something did shift. And while this conversation is different, I think so much of it is because this groundwork and this foundation has been laid by Moms Demand Action. So take us back to that moment and where we all started and how we got to this moment to take advantage of the change in the conversation.
I can remember I lived in Indiana at the time, and I was folding laundry, watching TV in my bedroom, and I started to see the news come on that there had been a school shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. And it looked bad. I can remember saying sort of a prayer out loud, please let this not be as bad as it looks. And then as the information started coming in, we realized as a country that this was a million times worse than we could have ever imagined. We've been through a lot in this country in terms of violence, but to have 20 babies and 6 educators slaughtered in the sanctity of an elementary school was just horrific. And so I was really devastated that day, but I woke up angry the next day, just feeling like, you know, I have 2 choices. I can try to figure out how to move my family of 7 to another country, or I can stay here and fight. I didn't really know what that looked like, right? I mean, I had been a communications executive and then a stay-at-home mom, and I just knew I had to do something. So I went online. I looked for something like Mothers Against Drunk Driving. I didn't find anything. And it really spoke to me as a mom. That's how I wanted to use my voice. So I just started a Facebook page. And what was amazing, it was, I can remember this guy I didn't know in Virginia connected me to a woman I didn't know in Brooklyn within minutes. And it's been like that every step of the way. Just the power of social media and women who are connecting and want to get involved. And within just a few weeks, we were a full-fledged nonprofit organization.
If you were talking to someone who doesn't know anything about Moms Demand America, how would you describe why you started and what you stand for today?
Now, we are a very moderate voice for gun safety because we believe the best way to get this done is to work across the aisle. And especially given that we have so many Republican state legislatures and a Republican Congress, we have to make sure that our solutions are data proven and they reflect the views of America. And that's why you see us doing things that we know will save the most amount of lives and that are agreed upon by most of America, things like closing the background check loophole, right? I think most Americans, we know polling shows most Americans, believe that every single gun sale should involve a background check. We believe that you should disarm domestic abusers. What people don't realize is that in so many states, if you are a stalker or a domestic abuser that is a dating partner, you're not a prohibited purchaser of guns. That is not included in the federal definition. And most women are actually shot now by dating partners. So we have to go into the states and broaden that definition. We believe that in red flag laws. So for example, in 3 states we've passed since Sandy Hook, 5 total, you can, if you're a family member, a police officer, petition a judge for a restraining order to remove the guns of someone who seems to be a danger to themselves or others. Had that law been in place in Florida, that teenager's guns may have been removed and they may have determined that he was going to commit a mass school shooting. So there's so many things that we can try in this country. We haven't even tried trying, as my friend Jason Kander likes to say. And when you look at things like automobile safety, you know, we've tried everything from new technology to speed limits to seatbelts to airbags. And with guns, we've done none of it.
And I think that your strategy speaks to the vision of the group. Just because the conversation often sort of flares up around mass shootings, it's really not just about mass shootings. Gun violence in America, and I tell people this, I'm like, when I go to Moms Demand Action meetings and I talk to members, like we're talking about suicides, we're talking about domestic violence. Suicide is something I care deeply about with regards to gun safety and common sense with regards to guns. And I think that the way you articulate the vision and the goal speaks to that. It's about way more than that. It's about saving the most lives possible.
Right. You know, shame on me for not knowing before Sandy Hook that 96 Americans are shot and killed every single day in this country. 2/3 of those are gun suicides. The rest are homicides and unintentional shootings. And the other thing people don't realize is that 2 million children live in homes with unsecured guns in this country. So we are the only developed nation where children shoot other people. because they have easy access to loaded guns. And so that's another thing that we work on, is to educate people about responsible gun storage.
Will you talk about that program? We talked about it at our meeting, because I think that's so great. The program that...
Be Smart.
Be Smart. And I think it's so smart because it talks about the parents, whereas the NRA's language is always about like the kids. And I just say, that means your kid needs to do what you tell them to 100% of the time. Like, I don't know if your kid does what you tell them to 100% of the time, but mine certainly do not.
Right. That's like saying, okay, don't touch the stove and then leaving the flame on high. I mean,
right.
It doesn't make any sense. Children should not be in charge of their own safety. It's really up to adults to make sure children are not around loaded guns mm-hmm. that they can access and shoot themselves or someone else, or even take to school and commit a mass shooting. Mm-hmm. There's just so many hazards with children around guns. And so we talk to gun owners and non-gun owners alike. We work with the PTA to just teach people that you, first of all, have to store your guns locked, unloaded, separate from ammunition, but also that you need to ask these questions. These are sort of tough questions mm-hmm. in America, or they feel tough. But when you send your kids over to someone's house, even if it's your own family, you don't know how they store their guns. You may not even know if they're gun owners. I've spoken with so many volunteers who said, I did not realize until I joined Moms in Action that when I send my kids over to my parents' house, they're sleeping in a room with a loaded gun in a shoebox under the bed. And it's all about just asking the question.
Well, I, crazy story, won a gun at a raffle. It was a police chief's raffle, so it's a
mess. As we do in America,
exactly.
Right?
And I have it here with no ammunition, but I still tell people because I want them to know that that's like a thing they should say. Like, I kind of use it as, I'm like, we have a gun, it's secure, there's no ammunition in the house. Just to get it out there, because I think that's a thing people need to be more comfortable talking about and making sure that they're aware of. So I think that's a really, really, really important program.
It's definitely saving lives, and it's a great way to get all people at the table to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've met so many moms who have lost their children because of this issue, either because, you know, they were shot by someone else's child or they committed suicide. And it really is a preventable mm-hmm. occurrence.
So why moms? Why were you inspired by Mothers Against Drunk Driving initially? And why do you see moms as such a powerful catalyst toward change right now?
I grew up in the 80s when Mothers Against Drunk Driving really became a force. So many of my peers were being killed in drunk driving accidents, and these mothers stepped up and have changed the face of our laws around this issue. I mean, I think they decreased drunk driving by almost 50% within a decade.
That's amazing.
And imagine doing that without social media too. That's what I always think about.
Yeah,
like,
so true. That is so
do
true.
Do they like call each other on the phone all day and, you know, send letters? I don't
so
know how
true.
They did it. That was sort of the model, because it's not just mothers anymore, right? It gave women a voice on this issue and they got to lead, but men joined them. And we're seeing that more and more with Moms Demand Action. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just went to a meeting in Boulder the other day.
One of our listeners 25... was there. She was so excited. You're
she was?
Yeah, she was like, guess who was at my meeting?
It was a surprise appearance, but I certainly did not expect 200 people to
I
be
know.
There. And about 25% of them, I would say, were men wearing mom's shirts.
That's so
and
awesome.
So many nonprofit organizations in this country are led by men, or they're like DC think tanks run by men. And I just love that women are being able to lead on this issue. And look, I think women are the secret sauce to organizing anyway. Mm.
That totally clicked for me. When I heard you on Jason Kander's podcast, I'd been giving money. And then when you said it's like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, my brain went, click, I get it. Like, it's such a good shortcut. And we've had listeners talk about, like, when you said that, Sarah, when you said it's Mothers Against Drunk Driving, everybody's like, oh, I get that. Now, I do have a question for you. There's a history of this. Like, I went to the Million Mom March after my school shooting in the 90s. There's a little history of linking this issue to the identities of mothers. Do you know what happened to that organization? Have you looked into any of their history?
So, you know, I was pregnant with my third child when Columbine happened. And so I just didn't get involved. I wish I had. But when I started Moms Demand Action, I was told there was this whole march, right? It was almost 1 million women who came to DC. And that's sort of the generation above me. And I think that many of them have started chapters and they work with Brady organization. What's interesting is that my generation, which I'm in my 40s and a lot of our volunteers are sort of anywhere from 30 to, I'd say, 60, I think they're really technologically savvy, right? They're mm-hmm. really interested in getting on Twitter and using Facebook.
Yeah, that's
and
what I think is the difference.
Outlet.
Yeah.
And it's made a huge change because we can directly communicate publicly with our members of Congress and with companies. I mean, look, in the last week, I've used the hashtag NoGunUntil21 And I've gotten two companies, L.L. Bean and Orvis, to say they won't sell rifles to anyone under the age of 21 anymore.
That's amazing.
So social media definitely works. And I think that's what's so great about Moms mm-hmm. to Be in Action. But then you look at these Parkland students that are coming up.
Yeah.
And we also started Students Demand Action the day after Parkland. And this is a whole new level of mm-hmm. knowing how to use social media and be really savvy. And so it's just going to get more and more successful.
Well, and let's just be honest, it got worse. Like the gun violence itself just got worse. I think yeah. that's part of it too.
I think that is part of why we're seeing also so much movement after Parkland is because there have been so many mass shootings since Donald Trump was elected, including the worst in our nation's history in Las Vegas. And I think the Kentucky school shooting had just happened a few weeks before Parkland yep. and Sutherland Springs. And there was a domestic mass shooting in Plano, Texas. So I think it was like drips on a rock. And mm-hmm. people just, by the time Parkland happened, they were ready for some action.
Agreed.
So we talked about the identity of motherhood as attached to this movement. Sarah and I have been having a lot of conversations about the NRA's success and how the NRA is such a powerful force, not even because of their ability to lobby, but because they have so influenced the social conversation about what it means to be seeking reasonable gun laws. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how you see the identity around people who are interested in common sense, moderate gun legislation shaping.
A lot of times people say they juxtapose this as gun owners or non-gun owners or Republicans versus Democrats. But if you look at the polling, this is actually America, the vast majority of America versus the gun lobby and lawmakers who are beholden to them. I don't really need to spend my time trying to convince a gun extremist that we need a background check on every gun sale. If I had to do that, it would take a lot of time. Instead, we are just trying to get everyday Americans off the sidelines to use their voices and their votes on this issue to be educated about where their candidates and lawmakers stand on this issue, and to vote accordingly, to make this one of their highest priorities when they go into the voting booth. If we can do that, and look, we did it in the elections in November, where we elected a new governor in New Jersey and in Virginia, who both strongly support common sense gun laws. And the Virginia is the NRA's backyard. If we can keep replicating that, it will not be long until we see a complete change on this issue, just like
right.
we did on marriage
equality.
Well, and
I think that's the thing. Like they had the identity fuel on their side for so long, but I think partly because you have a very powerful moment with regards to sort of women's empowerment generally. You've linked this idea to mothers and to women, although, of course, there are lots more people involved. Like, I think that you feel this sort of emotional identity kind of feel on the side of common sense gun legislation for the first time in a long time, at least from my perspective.
I agree. I mean, I think parents are starting to think, mm-hmm. look, this could be my kid. And that definitely will change the dynamic. I think the fact that lawmakers still are not getting the point that they can't just offer thoughts mm-hmm. and prayers without action. You know, we're still seeing that in the wake of this shooting. And I think that they realize they have to get educated. Like you were saying before, we've spent 5 years mm-hmm. building the machinery so that people could plug in when there's a crisis like this. And since Parkland, we have added over 125,000
new volunteers. I was wondering what your
volunteers.
Number, I knew it had to be crazy. That's
yes.
amazing.
That's just volunteers. We have over a million new members who've signed up for our
wow.
emailing list. And we have 10,000 new members of Students Demand Action. So, you know, we are growing by leaps and bounds. And then you've seen the enthusiasm, hopefully, across the country at these meetings where, you know, just I think it was yesterday in Tennessee, we would typically have about 80 people show up for our state advocacy day. Yesterday, it was over 500.
That's amazing. Oh, that makes me so happy.
If you're looking for a very quick salon quality, but not salon priced manicure, Olive & June has you covered. We've talked about Olive & June's Mani system before. It has everything that you need for a professional manicure in one box. Salon grade tools. Your choice of 6 polishes. Those polishes are going to last you for 7 days or more. The cost breaks down to about $2 a manicure. Olive & June also has press-ons if you want. What I love, though, is that Olive & June each season is coming out with new colors, and I just got a set of spring and summer colors in quick dry polish. And they say this dries in about a minute. It seemed dry to me in about 30 seconds. It was not kidding about being quick dry. I also love the light colors in this set. There is a huge range. My favorite one is called Kitten. It's like a pinkish gray. The quick dry polish gives you full coverage in one or two coats. It lasts for more than 5 days, and it is offered in more than 40 cruelty-free and vegan polishes. Olive & June just understands what's happening in our lives, that we need to move quickly, but we want to look great and feel great and have fun in the process. Visit oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first mani system.
Just finished A Court of Thorns and Roses and craving another fantasy world to devour? Dipsy's got you. Dive into spicy enemies to lovers tales or embark on an epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They've got fantasy romance stories perfect for your morning walk, late night, or long bath. Dipsy is an app full of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/pantsuit. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/pantsuit. dipsystories.com/pantsuit. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/pantsuit.
I think the phrase gun extremist is a really smart one because often in analysis of this issue, I think we introduce lots of complexity, and it's not that it's uncomplicated. I think the federalism angle of this issue is particularly complicated. But I also have the sense that we're muddying the waters to make them seem deep when really what we should be talking about here is, do we want to try trying? Do we want to do something about this? And in that spirit, I wondered, Shannon, if we could take you through just the most rote responses to gun safety and get your reaction to them.
Absolutely.
So guns don't kill people, people do.
Right, which is why we want background checks on people.
Oh, it's so good. Sorry.
We're blowing the threat of mass shootings out of proportion.
Well, we have more mass shootings than any developed nation in this whole world, right? So if the idea that more guns and fewer gun laws kept us safer, we wouldn't have these mass shootings. It's very clear that what separates us from other developed countries is our easy access to guns. And the other thing, you know, people talk about mass shootings and so-called gun-free zones. It's really important people understand that the majority of mass shootings take place in private residences, not gun-free zones, and that they are started by domestic abuse.
So mental health is the issue, not gun legislation.
Every nation struggles with mental health issues. We have the same rates of mental illness. We watch the same movies. We play the same video games. What we have that others don't have is easy access to guns, which is why we have a 25 times higher gun homicide
rate. Well, and the mental ill
are
more likely to be victims of gun violence. That's what bothers me about that talking point.
Exactly.
It's like further victimizing that community.
And if they really were concerned about that, the first thing Donald Trump did during his administration was to roll back a law that Social Security recipients who were too mentally ill to manage their benefits couldn't buy guns. And that was the first thing he did as president, was to roll that back.
We should enforce existing laws instead of passing new ones.
The reality is that the important laws are not on the books. And that is, for example, closing the private sale loophole that allows a gun sale without a background check. So yes, sure, let's enforce the laws that are out there. But that isn't our problem as a country. I mean, the problem is that we have easy access to guns and we don't regulate them. And you can, again, the comparison between America and other nations, even nations with a lot of guns, like Israel. You know, there are a lot of guns in Israel, but they require training and they have very stringent laws around how they're stored and used. And we just don't have that.
You need a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun.
You know, data shows that that simply isn't true. Police are able to accurately hit their moving targets with a gun about 18% of the time. And these are incredibly well-trained law enforcement officials. To imagine that a civilian or an educator is going to somehow kill someone accurately is sort of like believing, you know, in that we're all Rambo. It just, the data does not bear it out. And it's the other thing that makes me crazy about that is that the NRA goes state by state and tries to strip all training requirements for gun owners out of state law. So they want these people to be, you know, walking around with guns and yet not have any training. It's absurd.
And then the last thing is just the slippery slope argument that if we start down the path of regulating the Second Amendment, that we'll eventually lose that right.
You know, I've been doing this for 5 years. I've never met anyone, especially a lawmaker, who has any intention of rolling back the Second Amendment or confiscating guns or even creating a registry. It's an urban myth created by the NRA and gun extremists to make you afraid that any law, no matter how small or incremental, will lead to wholesale confiscation of your guns. And it's their argument all the time.
And here's what really frustrates me, because I like to think about what's the emotion motivating a lot of these arguments. And it does seem like there's so much of the narrative behind gun enthusiasts, gun extremists, or sometimes just regular people who own guns, is this idea that the NRA has been able to perpetuate that there's such skepticism around the government, that you need yourself to defend against the government, that the government's going to come after you, in this sort of slippery slope argument. And I told Beth, what wears me out about that is there's like no skepticism of the role that the gun industry plays in here. There's no skepticism for the role of money in this entire debate and the way the NRA functions. Like, why are you reserving all your skepticism and cynicism for the government and none for this huge industry? Can you talk about the role of the gun industry within the NRA? Like, I didn't know until you spoke about it that the way they keep making money is now they're pushing for this permitless carry that they rolled in the licensing, and now they're trying to roll. And one of my friends who's a gun owner, he was like, oh, they'll never get away with it. I'm like, they've already done it in 13 states.
Yes.
So I think that's huge. I think that's huge. I don't think people understand
that. Gun manufacturers give, we think, the majority of the NRA's $350 million annual budget to the NRA. And they talk all the time about their membership. The reality is the NRA could have no members and still be financially viable. Mm. This is all about protecting the profits of gun manufacturers. So in the late 90s, if you go to YouTube, you can see Wayne LaPierre saying things like he opposed guns in schools and he supported a background check on every gun sale. And all of that radically changed over 20 years because they started selling more guns to fewer people. And that is a demographic that is, you know, 50 or 60 year old white man, basically. That's their main demographic. And that's a demographic that's aging out. So they realized that they had to reverse their position on those things, because the best way to inculcate an entire generation of gun buyers is to force guns onto college campuses, into K through 12 schools, to sell guns to women by making them afraid that they'll be sexually assaulted, just basically preying on fears. And that's what they've been doing for the last 20 to 30 years and in order to sell more guns. And what's interesting is that since Donald Trump was elected, gun sales are down about 10% or $100 million, which is very significant. And that's why we see them trying to continue to push for laws, like you mentioned, permitless carry at the state level, but also at the federal level to deregulate silencers, which are an accessory that would result in a lot of money for them.
I wish people would stop just for a minute and think, what's happened in the past when we had industries sort of competing for a finite amount of space? Like when the food industry was competing for a finite amount of calories we're supposed to take in a day. Yeah. And when the cigarette companies were competing for a finite amount of people who could smoke. You know, like when what happens when they run up against these boundaries? Do good things happen when people run up against, when these industries run up against the boundaries of like what they can sell or who they can sell to? Like that, I mean...
Well, and to your point, the really interesting thing about the tobacco industry comparison is that in the 90s, Congress passed a law that gave the gun lobby, the gun manufacturers, complete immunity to lawsuits like what took down the tobacco industry, because they learned from the tobacco industry. So it's really one of the only products that you can't sue for mislabeling or for misrepresenting through advertising, which is just fascinating.
Oh.
I wonder if the strategy from the NRA, especially right now, is going to ultimately backfire.
Mm-hmm. We talk about
because
this a lot.
I think the extremism and especially the propaganda being created by the NRA right now might move everyone to the left on gun issues. I see people who are very adamant Second Amendment supporters moving left all the time on this issue. And I don't think it's just in response to mass shooting after mass shooting. I think it's partially in response to what seems to be increasingly fanatical rhetoric. If I were advising the NRA right now, I would be begging everyone to come to the table on some reasonable legislation for the sake of our own organization.
Yeah, it's kind of terrifying to me. I hope you're right. I hope that's what's happening, as opposed to gun owners are being taken over to the dark place of a culture war. But I think what we're seeing the NRA put out through channels like NRA TV, you know, if this was being put out by a terrorist organization in another country, mm-hmm. we would be very alarmed. And yet, because it's, you know, our fellow Americans, we're somehow giving them a pass. I mean, their rhetoric is incredibly dangerous, and they are working to incite violence. I was fascinated after Sandy Hook that they came out and doubled down.
Yes.
I really did think they would say, okay, you know, this was such a horrific tragedy, and the nation is reeling, and how can we work together to fix it? And instead, I mean, I don't know if you remember the press conference that Wayne LaPierre held about, I don't know, I want to say 3 or 4 weeks after the shooting. I mean, it was like the rantings of a madman.
Mm-hmm.
And look, they helped elect Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So you have to give them some credit. But I think the question is, will America reject this incendiary rhetoric and what is very clearly a marketing ploy? I'm very hopeful, and I think we are seeing that. But in the meantime, I just think they're doing such harm to the country.
Well, and I read recently a really great piece. It was in one of Politico's daily emails, and they spend, I don't know if you get these from Anna Palmer, but they do a lot of like off the record talking with congressmen. And after Parkland, they had this piece where they were like, look, these are what, don't get mad at us. This is just what they're saying off the record. And so many Republican congressmen were saying that the idea that it's just about the tit for tat for political donations is not really what it's about. It's about the NRA sends these voting guides and they can mobilize voters, and they're all terrified of being primaried. It's not about a challenger. It's about being primaried in these districts.
Yep.
So what is the mom's answer to that? Like, what is the strategy surrounding those kind of situations?
Yeah, and I think that's true. I do think an A rating from the NRA, it really benefits mm-hmm. some candidates and lawmakers, depending on where they live. You know, we are working, as I mentioned, to register voters, particularly teens. We're working with Tom Steyer, who has invested $1 million into getting this done before November.
Awesome.
Specifically around gun issues. And we are also going to educate our volunteers and all of America. You know, we just ran a New York Times ad, 2 pages of every lawmaker who's taken money from the NRA and their phone number.
Oh, amazing.
To call them. So it's sort of an educational guide. And we're going to keep doing that because we have boots on the ground and we can really support candidates or oppose candidates state by state, district by district. And so that is our goal going into the midterms. And we feel really good, you know, given what happened in November and given all this momentum right now in the country, that we can make real changes and send a strong message.
So you think even in those districts where they're worried about being primary, there are everyday Americans who have moderate beliefs on gun sense and they just need to be educated? Because I think you're right. I think even in those primary districts, the NRA is just, you know, they mobilize those people and those people are loud, so the people who disagree don't feel like they can say anything.
Well, but the goal is also, even if that person does win the primary, you know, it's up to what happens in the election. And mm-hmm. I think what happened in Virginia is a great example of that. Ed Gillespie, who, you know, was sort of a favorite to win in Virginia, he tacked right. And polling showed after the election that his A rating from the NRA hurt him significantly.
Okay, that's awesome.
So Kelly Ayotte was one of the only senators on the Eastern Seaboard to vote against background checks in April after the Sandy Hook school shooting. And we told her that we were going to make an example of her, that we were going to show America that when you vote the wrong way on this issue and really kind of break with your colleagues, that we were going to hold you accountable. And so we spent a lot of money on that election, and we also showed up at every single town hall. In fact, it got to the point where when we showed up at Senator Ayotte's town halls and we had a mom shirt on, we were barred from entering.
Oh, my gosh. And did you start putting on fleeces and then, like, sitting down and be like, whoops, exactly. Unzip, take off?
You know, she lost, and she lost very narrowly. And I think in part it's because we worked so hard to unseat her.
And that's not a liberal state.
Yeah, it's a liberal state. And the other thing that's interesting is the only senator who is still in office that voted against that background check bill, Manchin-Toomey bill, is Senator Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota.
Really?
And she's another person I won't give any money to.
So let's talk about the strategy of elections. I know that you serve on the board of Emerge America. I'm an Emerge graduate. Tell us why you think it's important to elect women.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look." And I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off. There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
Yeah, you know, I just think that until there's at least equal representation of women in office, we're going to have a really hard time shaping the policies that impact our families and communities. Women only hold 17% of the 500,000 elected positions in this country. And that means we are not making the policies that impact our families and our communities. So we have to pull the levers we have available to us right now, which is our voting power. We're the majority of the voting public. Our spending power, we make the majority of the spending decisions for our families. But I want us to be not just shaping policy, but making it. Mm-hmm. And the only way we can do that is to get elected to office, any office. I don't mean, you know, women have to like immediately decide they're going to run for Congress, but the average age of women to run for office in this country is 47. We really need women to decide right out of college that this is going to be their career.
Well, I have to tell you of this amazing moment. We started a Western Kentucky chapter of Moms Demand Action after our community was hit twice by school violence.
Right.
And in our meeting were two Emerge graduates currently on the ballot for our state Senate seat and our state House seat. And I thought, what an amazing overlap. And I thought, you know, this is the difference between like Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Something tells me in a lot of their beginning meetings, they didn't have women on the ballot. And I think like you said, like
right,
that
in
is
the 80s.
Yeah,
for sure.
This is the difference. And, you know, it's going to be amazing.
I agree. We had 13 volunteers and gun violence survivors from our organization run in November, 9-1.
That's awesome.
We have many in races coming up in November from Iowa to Georgia to Montana for state House seats. Lucy McBath, one of our national spokeswomen, just announced she's running for Congress in Georgia.
Okay.
So, and then we did a poll that showed hundreds of our volunteers and survivors plan to run in the future. So I'm very excited about that sort of Moms 2.0.
I love that. I love Moms 2.0.
Can you speak, Shannon, about one of the fears that women have when they seek office, and that is just navigating the social media sort of demonization as soon as you start to use your voice in the world? And I know that you are very familiar with that and would love to hear how you weather it and what advice you would have for women who do fear that.
Yeah, it is tough. You know, I use the block tool because I'm not even going to just mute people. Like if people are going to try to harass me and send trolls and bots my way, I just block them no matter like how many followers or how famous they are. I don't have a ton of time to debate people who are just interested. You know, they're basically famous gun extremists, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have any interest in having a discussion. And I think you just have to go into it knowing that there are going to be days you make mistakes. There are going to be days that you are feeling overwhelmed by sort of the hate or the ill will. And you just have to power on because it's social media. It's all temporary. And the most important thing about it is the ability to bypass, you know, the filters in this world of media. And a lot of reporters are men. I can tell you that most of the podcasts I have done are run by women, not all of them, but most of them. And the reason is because, you know, men aren't always interested in what middle-aged women are doing. So social media lets me totally bypass their disinterest and talk directly to the people that we're trying to organize.
I love it. So when you think back to sitting at your kitchen table and you're folding laundry and you're seeing this moment, what would you go back and say to that Shannon? I'm sure you couldn't have seen the journey that would have gotten you here. What would you say to her?
It depends on the day. but, you know, I would say, you know, you will end up keeping your promise to sort of yourself and the universe, which is that you will stick with it as long as you possibly can until you feel like it's time you can pass on the torch. And look, I feel that way already. You know, if God forbid I was to get hit by a bus tomorrow, I still think this organization would live on. And that's really the goal of organizing, is to work yourself out of a job, because if this organization was about me, it wouldn't be much of an organization. It has to be about gun violence survivors and about emboldened women and moms and supportive men. And that is how this will last into perpetuity. And it has to, because even with Mothers Against Drunk Driving, they still have to show up at their state houses and fight back the alcohol lobby and fight back lawmakers who want to ease restrictions on drunk driving. And we will always have to do those things too. This is, as I always say, a marathon, not a sprint. When you get involved in gun violence prevention activism, you have to know that you are in it for the long haul.
What keeps you so grounded? I mean, that is a very grounded answer to that set of questions.
First of all, I feel honored and lucky to wake up and do this work as a volunteer every single day. I know that even on my toughest days, even when there are horrible tragedies, even when I'm, you know, at the bottom of the barrel because of social media, whatever the thing may be happening, I still know that I'm incredibly lucky to do this work. And I also feel like we're saving lives. And sometimes you can't tell how many lives you've saved. When you pass a domestic gun violence bill, you'll never know the moms who are still with their families because the guns were removed from a domestic abuser. But I think that is also incredibly motivating. And the fact that we're winning, you know, I mean, when you look at our track record of passing good bills and stopping bad bills, it's pretty astounding that we've been able to do so much in such a short amount of time. And on top of that, I have, you know, an amazing husband, and I'm very lucky to have five healthy kids. So I don't have much to complain about.
Yeah, I think five kids would keep you pretty grounded. My three sure keep me grounded.
They're all gone now except one.
Oh, wow.
So our only boy, and he's a junior in high school.
Wow. Any advice for raising in teenagers and getting them out the door?
Well, I will just tell you that the day they decide they're going to close their bedroom door when they go to bed is the day it all changes.
Okay, that's good. That's good, Shannon. I like good black and white things to look for. That is very helpful.
You're in big trouble.
Okay, so you need to start paying extra close attention when they start closing their bedroom door. I got that. That's good. That's very helpful.
Well, thank you so much, Shannon. I think this has been wonderful, and I know our listeners are going to love it.
No, and thank you all for supporting our organization. It's incredibly important, especially right now. And we are so grateful for you sending volunteers our way and letting us talk about our platform.
Absolutely. We're so grateful for you. Like I said, at the top of the show, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Pantsuit Politics. Thank you to Shannon Watts, to everyone who's volunteering with Moms Demand Action, for all of you for your continued engagement on this important topic. We'll be back with you on Tuesday for another full episode of Pantsuit Politics. Until then, keep it nuanced, y'all.
To support Pantsuit Politics, please visit patreon.com/pantsuitpolitics or rate and review the podcast in the Apple Podcast Player.
Thank you to our executive producers, Nicholas, Chad, Tracy, George, and Sabrina.
You can find us on Twitter at Pantsuit Politics or Facebook and Instagram at Pantsuit Politics.
Dante Lima is the composer and performer of our theme music. You can also hear his work and get more nuance by checking out our podcast on family, relationships, and values, The Nuanced Life.